like the Bible Education Center, the New Life Church of Faith, and Transitions.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Kyle Mabry is our director. A cold front dropping into the Ohio River Valley today is bringing showers and thunderstorms to portions of Missouri, Illinois, and Indiana. As the front becomes nearly stationary over the Ohio Valley later today, the best chances for rain will shift into Kentucky and the southern sections of Illinois and Indiana. Meanwhile, high pressure building into the Great Lakes will provide dry and cooler weather for the remainder of the region. High temperatures today will range from the mid-50s across north-central Wisconsin to near 80 degrees across southeastern Missouri. Overnight low temperatures will range from the low 20s across northern Wisconsin to the upper 50s along the Ohio Valley and southeastern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly cloudy and much cooler with the chance of showers, the high in the mid-60s, the wind from the northeast at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Tonight, partly cloudy, the low 42, the wind will be out of the northeast from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, sunny, look for a high of 58, the wind from the northeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low of 34, the wind from the northeast at 10 to 15. Friday, sunny with a high of 62. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 40. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the upper 40s. The outlook for Sunday, Easter Sunday, sunny. Look for a high in the mid-60s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the mid-50s to the mid-60s with a mix of sun and cloud, and some locations reported rain at the top of the hour. At Rockford, 59 degrees, at O'Hare, 55, and Bloomington, 63. Mattoon reported rain at noon, 55 degrees there, and Carbondale, light rain in 66. In South Bend, 59, in Lafayette, 62, Indianapolis reported 64 degrees, and in Terre Haute, it was 65. Willard Airport reported a mostly sunny sky at the top of the hour, 66 degrees. The dew point, 51. The relative humidity, 58%. The wind out of the northeast at 17, with the barometer at 29.87 and falling. And at 12:40 Central Time, 66 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Republican Congressman John Shimkus of Collinsville is running for re-election in the redrawn 15th District. The new district includes part of Champaign County and all of Coles, Douglas, Edgar, Moultrie, and Vermilion counties. Last week, Shimkus sat in on the U.S. Supreme Court's final day of hearings on the federal health care law. At the start of a wide-ranging interview, Shimkus told Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers there are parts of the law he supports, but he says requiring people to purchase health insurance or pay a penalty goes a step too far.
I think everyone believes that everyone should have a health insurance plan or policy. And if you can't afford it, then government ought to help. Now, the question is which level of government. I would prefer, and I've actually, for full disclosure, I endorsed him a couple weeks ago. Mitt Romney, who is much maligned on this health care debate, did it properly. The states can make a decision whether they want to provide an ability for everyone in their state to get access to some health insurance plan or policy. That's what he did. I think there's a real constitutional question of whether the national government, I find it hard to believe that the founding fathers would empower a national government, because if you understand this new constitution that we have, there is a separation of powers because they didn't trust each other. They didn't trust the legislators, they didn't trust the executive, and they didn't trust the courts. So there's this balance of power. Would they have wanted a national government to be so powerful to be able to tell an individual citizen what good or services they have to buy? I just don't think they would do that.
Assuming the court strikes down at least the individual mandate, do you think parts of the health care law will still exist?
Well, if they just strike the individual mandate, then the remaining provisions are still in law. Now, we'll have to be involved in trying to figure out how we may have to get involved and smooth out the rough edges if you have insurance spikes because of pre-existing condition entry and young adults staying on parents' policies. And I don't know how we would do that. You know, I'd like to see a thriving individual market that is competitive, that has basic catastrophic levels, and then people can buy in at the levels they want based upon the coverage that they want, but at least have the catastrophic coverage. I'd like to see a market much like homeowners insurance or automobile insurance, and that people can buy in at their own levels and maybe get incentivized for healthy living versus having unhealthy living. Maybe your insurance policy should cost more if you're a smoker and a drinker and obese and not exercising. But if you're living a relatively healthy lifestyle, maybe you shouldn't be incented in your health insurance package. I think the market will help do that if we allow the market to develop in that way.
You have introduced legislation that would block lawsuits related to E15, which is gasoline blended with 15% ethanol. The auto and gas industries are concerned that they would be held liable if E15 was put in the wrong engine. It could lead to damage, physical harm. Why do you feel this bill is needed?
Well, first of all, we've been very successful in the renewable fuels arena in this country. The US EPA did a rulemaking in which they said E15 is good for a set of vehicles that goes from 2001 model to 2012, no problem. They have not ruled on 2001 earlier. So the question is to the marketers, which are the gas stations in essence, how do they use it or don't they use it? Will they get sued? Will they not get sued? And it's not just them. It's also the refineries themselves. Even though if the EPA says it's good and you do all the issues, one way in which we help decrease our reliance on imported crude oil is the success of ethanol. As we move forward, our ability to use that at retail locations is directly proportional to their ability of whether they're going to get sued or not. And so by having this protection, because remember that the EPA has already said there's no problem, especially with this, with this sector. And so but until these refiners and the marketers feel some more security from lawsuits, and a lot of these marketers are really small family-owned operations that may have 5 to 10 retail locations. They're not like the big Shell stations or BP and Amoco and stuff like that. So they really need the protection.
The idea is that this would bring added fuels into the marketplace.
Well, it also segues into a world in which we have a formula mixture for a liquid transportation fuel regardless of the commodity product. Right now, we're still almost mandated to take gasoline made from crude oil. I would love to see a day where instead of driving up to a gasoline station, we drive up to a refilling station. And that might have natural gas turned into a liquid transportation fuel. That might have methanol. It could have ethanol. It could be even, gasoline from crude oil. But then let the individual consumer pick the fuel type based upon the cost. And let these fuels fight for our dollars at the pump.
This is an election year, and you're running in a redrawn district. How are voters in East Central Illinois do you feel different than your constituent base in the southern part of the state?
I don't think they are. I mean, you just have to look at the lines. Had I had Champaign-Urbana, that might be a different story. But although a lot of people in the university community might commute, most everything south of Paxton, which is in Ford County north of here, circling around Champaign-Urbana. Yeah, I do have Charleston, but it's small town, rural agriculture, coal mining, marginal oil wells, small town, faith-based communities, very patriotic, very conservative.
How long do you think you'll be in this job?
I don't know. That's a great question. So, well, I was a term limit guy who didn't keep my term limit pledge after the president asked me to stay in. So I think about it all the time. And one thing I do know is since I'm a subcommittee chairman of the Environment and the Economy Subcommittee, that seniority does have an important role when you're dealing with policies that affect your constituents. And I'm glad I'm there. I'm having it. But it's up to the voters. And so if the voters think I'm doing a poor job, they surely have the opportunity to get rid of me.
Congressman John Shimkus, the Collinsville Republican, spoke with Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers. Shimkus is running for re-election in the new 15th Congressional District. The district includes part of Champaign County and all of Coles, Douglas, Edgar, Moultrie, and Vermilion counties. You'll find a longer version of the interview online at will.illinois.edu.
Support comes from Wesley Church at Goodwin and Green, serving the campus and community. Easter week services are Thursday, April 5th at 7:30 p.m. with a communion service remembering the Last Supper. Friday, April 6th at 7:30 p.m. for a service remembering Jesus' final hours. And Sunday Easter service at 10:30 a.m. Details at wesleyui.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 4th of April, 2012. It was on this date, 1841, President William Henry Harrison died. He was 68. He'd been president for 1 month. His inaugural address was nearly 2 hours long. It was delivered outdoors of the Capitol, a cold spring day. Mr. Harrison, wearing neither hat nor overcoat, he wanted to show how robust he was. He came down with pneumonia and pleurisy. Doctors treated him with opium, castor oil, bloodletting, and leeches, and he died. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated on this date in 1968 in Memphis, where he was supporting striking sanitation workers. He was memorialized last year with a monument on the National Mall in Washington, a figure partially carved out of a block of stone with quotes on either side, which some people criticized as misquotes. One quote on the statue says, "I was a drum major for justice, peace, and righteousness." And what Dr. King actually said was, "Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice, say that I was a drum major for peace, I was a drum major for righteousness, and all of the other shallow things will not matter." The Department of Interior announced in January that the National Park Service will find a more appropriate quote for the memorial. It's the birthday of Maya Angelou, born Marguerite Johnson in St. Louis, 1928. She was a dancer, actor, lived in the early 60s in Ghana. She was part of an African-American expat community there. Got involved in the civil rights movement, wrote about it in her six-volume autobiography, starting in 1970 with I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. And it's the birthday of Marguerite Duras, born in a small village in French Indochina, near what is now Saigon, 1914. Her parents had left France to teach in Indochina. Her dad died. She grew up in poverty. When she was a teenager, she became lovers with a wealthy older Chinese man whom she met on a ferry between Sa Dec and Saigon, and she would write about him for the rest of her life in autobiographical works like The Lover, which was an international bestseller in 1984. Marguerite Duras, who said, "You have to be very fond of men, very, very fond. You have to be very fond of them to love them. Otherwise, they're simply unbearable." Here's a poem for today by Kristen Lindquist entitled Transportation. Everyone in O'Hare is happy today. Sun shines benevolently onto glorious packaged snack foods and racks of Bowles T-shirts. My plane was 20 minutes early. Even before I descend into the trippy light show of the walkway between terminals, I am ecstatic. I can't stop smiling. On my flight, we saw Niagara Falls and Middle America, green and gold below. Passengers thanked the pilot for his smooth landing with such gratitude that I, too, thanked him with sudden and wholehearted sincerity. A group of school children passes on the escalator, and I want to ask where they're going. Tell me your story, I want to say. This is life in motion. A young couple embraces tearfully at a gate. She's leaving, he's not. How can I bring this new self back to you, intact? He yells to her departing bag, "Hey, I like the way you move." Any kind of love seems possible. We walk through this light together.